Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Stay Up Podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up, Los Angeles Street Art. And as my guest, I'm excited to welcome KH number 7 to the show. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I was first introduced to your work through your imagery. And to sort of introduce you and what you're about, you use this iconic spark plug a lot, and that's where I first saw it. I saw it repeated again in an exhibit, and then I finally met you at a show a few months later. So I was hoping maybe you could give us an introduction to that spark plug and a little bit about your work for guests listening.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess you should know just a little bit about my past. Like, I have a past in fine art and painting and illustration, but I actually really hate doing that. I'm not a big painter. I really love collage and designing. So, I don't know, about a few years ago, I just sort of found this old stack of Life magazines and Road and Track from the 60s and just opened up these pages and saw all of these wonderful old advertisements for car parts, and I just got really inspired by it, and I started making collages with these elements in them. And the spark plug, it's really weird, it's a strange story. It just started off as this tiny little element in one of my larger pieces, and my first opportunity to put something on the streets, I decided to take that spark plug out of the collage and just, basically put it all over the streets, not really knowing what it meant at the time. Mm-hmm. And then people started asking me, they're like, so what's up with the spark plug? Like, what does that mean? And I just sort of thought about it for a little while and really just reflected on why that image was so important to me. And as it turns out, I mean, it's a perfect metaphor for, I guess, you know, these little creative explosions that we have inside of us. I don't know. It's just like this minute accessory. It's often unnoticed. It's so small, but it has the power to drive your engine forward. And, I mean, without it, there's nothing. So, I don't know. I just sort of think of it as like, there are thousands of, like, tiny seeds in my head, and I never know when, like, one of them is going to start growing, and it's kind of the same thing with a spark plug. Like, I never know when it's going to start firing, and, you know, they're unpredictable. Sometimes they explode. Sometimes their timing is off, and I don't know. I just think it's a great metaphor for, you know, sometimes you can have this little creative spark that can turn into a really great, you know, a really beautiful piece of artwork, so...
I really like that. And it's interesting because I've seen it very small, I've seen it large, but then I've also seen work where it's disappeared basically as well. I mean, it's I'm looking at some of your works that I've seen even in the gallery. I mean, it's not always necessarily emphasized as strongly. But then again, it's just a spark plug sometimes with a color. So tell me more about the name KH number 7 then. Sometimes that's written on the side of it. How did that correspond with everything?
Well, I'm trying to remember when I started using it. I'm pretty sure like it came around when I was in like junior high school or high school or something like that. I always just signed my artwork with it, and it's basically like my initials and then the number 7. I don't know. It was just a nickname that I got, basically. I'm sure it was, like, kind of secret agent-like at the time. And I don't know. I just went with it. Like, I just assigned every little drawing that I gave to anybody. I just signed it with KH number 7. And I don't know. It just made me feel like a little bit of a secret agent or something. And And before I knew it, like, I guess when I started putting stuff up on the streets, and the question came to me, well, what are you going to call yourself? And I was like, oh, well, Cage Number 7, of course. Like, that's what it's always been. And I mean, it's like, it's very household, too. Like, even my mom, like, will buy me stuff that says Cage Number 7 on it. Like, I have, like, keychains and stuff from when I was in high school. Like, it's just kind of, it's like my middle name, basically.
Okay,
so,
I see.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. It's just like calling somebody Bub or...
Yeah. Well, it has more of that nickname-type feel. It doesn't necessarily have an alternative identity. I get the feeling that you as a street artist and you as a person are very much the same person.
Yeah,
you know, it's an alternate identity in some sort of way. Yeah. But you do talk to folks, and that identity that they put on is really quite different from their other life, so to speak.
It's weird, too. Well, a lot of people thought I was a dude for a very long time. It really wasn't until, I guess, a couple of years ago when there started being more street art shows in Los Angeles. Because I feel like they were happening globally, but we weren't really having too many here. But once we started having some street art shows and I started meeting people, they get, like, freaked out. They're like, oh, my God, you're a girl. So that's another thing about names, too, is it really, like, blurs the person behind the artwork. And it really is, like, this sort of curtain that you put up and... I don't know.
But that's a great point, though. I mean, it's one of the things, our imaginations go crazy when we look at street art and we see the name, or you feel like you know the person even though you're just looking at the work. And that's always been a shock for me, and regardless if the male or female, but more or less like what they look like. Because I create this identity of these people. And just this weekend, I met several artists that I hadn't met before, and I'm always kind of shocked. I'm like, oh, that's what you look like. Interesting.
I know. It's the strangest thing. Whenever there was one show I went to when I met like a whole gang of people I had already been in touch with online and had already sort of done like mini collaborations with, but I'd never met them in person. And then once I did, I was like, whoa, I did not expect you to look like that.
It is a bizarre thing, and I can't say it's a bad thing or a good thing. It's just strange.
No, it's like, it's actually like Christmas. It's like Christmas morning. Just like opening up the presents, and you're like, wow.
I would imagine, I've never done online dating, but I would imagine it's somewhere along those things.
I never have either. Yeah, exactly. You never really do know. Yeah.
That's funny. Well, let me backtrack just a second, because you mentioned your fine art background, because I think that's fascinating. Mm-hmm. A lot of the artists that I've talked to have some sort of background, design, fine art, or even film or advertising. You know, there's this there's a lot of professional association with street art. And I think it's different with graffiti and different types of urban art, but with street art, I've noticed that. And I don't know if you could say a little bit more. You said you didn't like the fine art background, and there's something that was repulsive about it.
It's more just like, okay, so I've been making art my whole life. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, ever since far back as I can remember, I've been drawing. And I kept it up. You know, I worked on it all the time. I was very self-taught. And then it sort of came time to go to college, and I had a really great opportunity to go to Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, and I worked so hard there and just was exposed to amazing things, fine art, advertising, typography, graphic design, film, everything. Like, you're just swimming in it, but you're also working so hard. I mean, you know, the 3 years I spent there, I didn't have a life because all I was doing was art. And it kind of pounded the joy out of it for me. You know, it wasn't my solace anymore. It wasn't relaxing anymore. And it wasn't until like about a year out of school that I started liking it again. But it was completely different. Like, I didn't ever want to pick up a pencil and draw. I didn't really want to paint freehand. I just wanted to design. I wanted to move around colors and shapes and elements and just sort of like rearrange my world with these like basic visual elements. And I don't know, it's become very different for me. And people are like, well, you can draw so well, why don't you? And I'm like, well, I'm not feeling it. I don't know. So, but you're right. A lot of people that I have met do have these backgrounds. And some people have left like huge jobs of like creative directors and things like that, of, you know, professional photographers, advertising gigs. And they're like, I'm just going to make art now. And I think that's spectacular.
Yeah, there's something noble about it. They're doing it for themselves all of a sudden. And there's nothing like sort of the little guy in street art, or at least that's what it feels like in many ways. So when, I mean, this is something that folks like myself are always curious about, is when did that transition happen all of a sudden? How did you get introduced to street art? Because I can't imagine it just one day just go, oh, yeah, I think I'll go pace that up. That sounds like a good idea. So how does it happen? Did you meet somebody? Did you see somebody? How was that introduction?
I was going through some crazy transition in life. I had just gotten out of a marriage. I was just sort of learning to live on my own again and just having a really great time of just being open to life. And one of my good friends is Dogbite, who's a great, great street artist, very prolific. He's been around for years. And yeah, there was just one night where, I mean, he knows that I'm creative. He knows that I was just always pumping out artwork. And he's like, why don't you just come out with me and let's put up some artwork? And I whipped together a sticker really quick. I made about 50 of them and went out, and I completely fell in love with just being out there in the nighttime, climbing things and putting up your artwork. And then also driving to work the next morning and then seeing it up there and seeing how long it lasted, and then also seeing who put artwork next to it. Like, it was just really fun. And I think that one of the things when you're in like the professional art world, like when you're into galleries and fine art and illustration, is that you're always trying to get people to see your artwork. And it's such a hassle. Like, you have to go through all of this bureaucracy and everything. But when it comes to the streets, you don't, there's nothing. There's no filter. You don't have to get it into a gallery. You can just put it up there, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to see it every day, whether they like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something incredibly liberating about that. And I don't know. There's nothing like it. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just, it might be slightly narcissistic, it's a really wonderful feeling. Especially when you do something that you're proud of, you know, when you do something different you've never done before, you get it out there, and then all of a sudden you start getting some phone calls or people just passing by, and they're like, you did that, I really like that. And I don't know, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's this alternative way to make it as an artist. It's bypassing all these channels. Which is interesting that you said this. You know, if you play the game of the art world and to get your work in galleries, it's, you're at the mercy of gallery directors, owners, and you just hope they'll look at your stuff. And it's not like that. It's actually much more social, the sort of the peer review process. And it seems as though most street artists are very knowledgeable of that because of the backgrounds they have, and because of your background going to Art Center, obviously you're very much in tune with what's happening. And so putting your work out there and seeing thousands of people see it is sort of, it's taking it into your own hands and creating a new system getting your work out there.
Yeah, you're right. It became very do-it-yourself. And, you know, a lot of the times with gallery world, like, it's about who you know. And if you're not connected, then it's just a struggle. And, yeah, this is very much taking things into your own hands, putting artwork where you want people to see it. And I will say that I've been making art my whole life, but it wasn't until I started putting it out on the street that all these really great things started happening. I have a wonderful circle of artistic friends now, and we're always working on something, like putting shows together, trying to stay creative, and it's just been, like, really positive. So, I don't know. It's been life-changing, I suppose. And I'm so happy. Like, I'm so happy I went out that one night because I didn't stop after that.
Yeah, it changed your life. Well, that brings into mind the role of curating, because you mentioned that you've organized a show. And I think when I first met you, you were organizing a show at Lab Art. And it was all, an all-female show. How did that go?
It was really, it was actually really great. I mean, it was sort of my first time doing anything like that. And I think that I will be very good at this in the future. I love to plan, and I love to just sort of make systems and put people together and watch this sort of synergy happen. Like, I've always had, like, this goal that I'm going to have a wing in a museum someday, or a gallery with my name on it. Like, that's going to happen. It will. And curation is just, I see it as, like, playing with a chemistry set, kind of. Like, you just sort of mix different things together and see what happens. And sometimes it explodes, and sometimes you make something really cool that you didn't know could exist. And it's hard, though. I didn't realize how hard it was.
Well, you chose a lot of artists. You had a lot of artists in that show.
Well, that was a bit of a different thing. I co-curated it with Rachel Fulton and Iskander Lemsefer from Lab Art. I was responsible for about half of the artists in that show, and it got to be a really big show really quickly. But it was a fun show. It definitely was. Like, it was like you walked into that room and it was just pure joy everywhere. So I'm very much like the opposite. I'm very like a pared down, simple kind of person. So I think that in the future when I curate, you'll see a little bit more, I would say you probably see something a little bit more controlled from me, just because I might have more time or more, I don't know, maybe just more patience. Like, I'm working on a show right now. So, okay. And we're probably going to launch it around fall when everyone's back in town. And I'm really excited about it. It's top secret.
Okay. So I won't ask you about it then. Oh, cool. Well, one of the things I've also noticed, and this is, I think, much more in graffiti, but also in street art, this is a very much a male-dominated field. And with at least with your show, I felt like folks came out of the woodwork. There was more women in that show than I realized were working. I mean, could you talk a little bit about that in terms of the dynamics of that, why you don't think there are more women, or maybe I'm misinformed, maybe there are just as many?
Well, I feel like there are a lot, and I think that show was testament to that. I will say that you need to be tough in order to sort of fly with this crowd. And I will say that being a female, like, I sometimes get attention just because I'm a girl, and that bugs me so much. I can't tell you how much it bothers me, but it's human nature. And when you put a girl in a big sea of men, like, you know, it's whatever, it's human nature. And but you know what? I really try to ignore that and just make it about my artwork and just try to make the best artwork that I can make. And if I'm, you know, at that point, then it doesn't matter whether I'm a male or a female. But I think that one of the reasons why we don't see very many females is the lack of kinship. I will say that putting out street art, I started seeing other females and I would latch onto them. I'd be like, oh my God, we need to be friends. One girl in this world. And we really created a community. And now I see women all the time. Like, they're coming out of the woodwork, really. And now it's just, now it really does feel like half and half to me. And it's become a lot more comfortable, I think. It was very novelty when I first started, like, people had never met a girl before, or maybe it was just an LA thing. I don't know. But now I feel like there's a much better balance now, and it's not as, it's not as novel as it was before. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Part of the reason I love the pseudonyms is because you hide behind it. You don't know if they're male or female. And I'll never forget one of street artists, Blinky, was posting images on his Facebook page, and there was a woman, kind of covering her face in front of it. And they said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you're a woman. I didn't have no idea. And he said, no, that's mm-hmm. But that's the great thing about it. You would never know. You can't tell by the artwork. And mm-hmm. There's something fantastic about that. I think it's fantastic about it. However, I will say that it seems as though in graffiti and a lot of street art, there is a lot of sexism in the imagery itself. That is, it seems like outdated. And I think it's just part of the culture that still hasn't evolved to a certain extent. Yeah. Even at the Mocha show a few years ago, there was imagery that just you think, oh my gosh, this is something that we've, you know, I feel like gone past in art history, but is still being uprooted in these communities.
Yeah. I think that that has a lot to do with the fact that a lot of artists, especially when you think about these deviant artists that aren't taking the normal path, that are putting it out on the streets themselves, are in effect children,
mm-hmm.
young people, but also like just haven't really grown up inside. I don't know, it could be like 45 years old, 50 years old, there's still little boys inside, little girls, and still basically that same like 16-year-old scribbling like a sexy woman in their notebook, you know, in science class. I still see that very much, and I just think it has to do with the general just nature of the people, like the kind of person that wants to go out on the streets and spray paint, you know, on the side of a building or climb a building and put up artwork. It takes a certain type of personality, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, like, that can be a little bit of a Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm. Those two things can go hand in hand many times, so
yeah.
It makes sense. Yeah. Sure. Well, right before we spoke on the phone, you mentioned that you're on a bit of a break right now. You haven't created work in a little bit.
And
I work with artists for a living. I'm an educator, and I know the cycles that artists go through, and sometimes you are in a desert, and that's an important part of coming back to civilization. It's part of the creative process. So can you talk a little bit about what you're going through right now?
Sure. I was going hard for almost a couple of years, just really cranking out artwork on a weekly basis, planning shows, doing things. And it got to a point where I started making things and I just didn't like them. And I realized I was forcing it. And I just took a break and I stopped. And this break has extended about 6 months now, which is hard as a professional, and it's also hard as an artist because you feel like you've dried up inside. But I don't know. I don't think that's true. I just recently got into running. And as I'm not making artwork, I have a lot more time on my hands. So I just recently got into running, and I've been running 5 miles a day, sometimes 5 days in a row, sometimes 7 days in a row. And I realized that if I don't take a moment and stop and rest my muscles, I'm gonna be hurt. I'm not going to be able to perform well. And it's the same thing when it comes to creativity. Like, you need to stop every once in a while. You have to pull back and you need to rest. Because how else are you going to grow? You're just going to sort of keep making the same artwork over and over and over again. And that's why, like, at first I was very sort of upset about this dry spell. But now I'm pretty, like, welcoming to it. And I know that it's not going to last forever. And I'm just looking at it as the time to work on other parts of my life. I'm not just an artist, you know. I have relationships and I have other goals as well. So, and it's important to have that ebb and flow. And so, I don't know. I would just say, like, if anyone else is in this position, just go with it. It's okay.
Great. I appreciate the honesty. It's awesome. And having worked with artists for the last 15 years, I know it happens. It's part of resting, it's part of a cycle, and everyone's different, actually. You know, there are folks that just like to run constantly. Mm-hmm. And then I know folks that they're in hibernation, it seems like, for 2 or 3 years, and then they put great work out. And I'm not talking just about street artists, it's just that's the way people internalize and have to go through.
Yeah. Think about, like, one of your favorite bands, you know, they're not pumping out a great album every single 6 months. Like, it has its, they're few and they're far between, but that's what makes the work so special.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, so where can we direct folks listening to learn more about you and your work?
Well, I currently just sort of run off of Facebook and Instagram. I'm not tech savvy enough to make myself my own website. So you can find me on Facebook at KH, the word number and the word 7 spelled out, KH number 7 at Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I also post to Instagram, too, so you can find me on there as well. And, I don't know. That's all I do. I just sort of put out work and take pictures of it, and that's about it. So.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's great. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate the conversation, and obviously a few of your images are in the book, so I'm excited about that as well. So hold on a second, and I'll take us out real quick. But thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So thank you for joining us for this conversation. If you're interested in learning more about the podcast or future guests, you can go to our Facebook page for Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And until then, we'll let the music of Desire Obtained Cherish take us out. Thanks so much.
I'm gonna go get high.